It's the last day of August. Where did August go? This is crazy. It's August 31st, 2018.
The obligatory old person intro. Where did the month go?
I'm playing with the red pills because what else would I do?
Those will break down.
Fairly easily.
Your body heat. So be careful.
That's probably bad. Yeah, so this is mostly nonsense. Like, really, officially,
it's percentage-wise, it's more government news.
It's government news and nonsense. But all of the government news is actually nonsense. So let's all point and laugh. Let's start with the Department of Justice, because it turns out they were supposed to go through these emails for compliance reasons or whatever, but they don't understand how to use computers, which is really sort of a basic fundamental problem. And so this glitch has shielded officials from public scrutiny.
But was this incompetence or maliciousness?
Never attribute to maliciousness what can be explained by simple incompetence.
See, I think in this case you might reverse that. So what happened here, this is fallout from all these records requests from the two FBI agents who were having an affair and were texting back and forth about Trump. I can't remember their names.
But does it even matter?
Well, they were very, very anti-Trump leading up to the election. And then they were in charge of investigating Trump. So clearly they were biased. And in these text messages, they were like, we must destroy him, you know, and stuff like that. So there's all kinds of fallout from that. And people requesting records. So all these records were dug up and delivered, but oops, there was a glitch. Some of the highest level politicians, their records were not searchable and didn't get delivered.
Oh, that's so unfortunate. How did anybody even find this issue? And did they disappear yet? Because that's my thing that happens.
You were talking about the people disappearing, but what they're worried about is the emails disappearing and the text messages, because now they've had months after knowing about the search to go in and purge. So they claim it was just a glitch. It was a mistake. They're going to fix it immediately. They're going to go back and they're going to get all those records and they're going to deliver them. And you shouldn't be worried about this.
You know what else you shouldn't be worried about? The federal DNC hack. Now, I remember this one. I think we covered several stories for this, but they were freaking out.
This was Russia, Russia, Russia. They reported it for sure. Russia has hacked us. We're guarantee you it's Russia. They're after the DNC, and Trump paid them to do it. And it's what we said. It's the conspiracy. Well, it turns out it wasn't Russia.
It was Michigan.
It was the DNC, the Michigan DNC. They were penetration testing. So they created their own phishing site to test how gullible the DNC was, and they claimed it was Russia.
This story is horrifying on four different levels. The first level is the original happenstance for everybody like freaking out and lose their mind. The second level that this is really horrifying is that nobody knew what was going on several days into it. The third level that this was horrifying is that the Michigan DNC could be mistaken for the Russians and that sort of thing. The fourth level of horrifying is that nobody, literally nobody, understood what was actually happening. And there was this level of freak out over a lookalike website.
Yeah, it was just a phishing website. But I don't think, again, it's maliciousness and incompetence. I think they saw something was happening and they were like, oh, this fits the narrative.
Don't think about it too hard or blood will shoot out your nose.
Yeah, they rushed out. They called up all the newspapers and all those organizations they got on the payroll. And they're like, we got a juicy one for you.
I've had it with technology being people's scapegoats. I've had it. Just it's like the toaster. They're in their toaster. They're trying to kill us.
I don't know if it's technology as much as it is Russia here. but Russia had nothing to do with this. Now, of course, Russia probably hacks just as much as we do. But again, we do.
There come the downvotes. No, we don't. We no.
But yeah, the DNC was definitely crying wolf with that one. And a little bit of egg on their face.
We've talked about smart meters in the past and how if you've got a smart meter that reports often enough, it can actually reveal a lot about, you know, when you're awake and when you're sleeping and when you're cooking and you're doing your clothes and watching TV. And
how many people are in your house?
How many people are in your house? I mean, you know, having your data collected from your electric meter actually reveals a lot about your activity. And so
it's cool to do it.
here we are. There's a court case, but this is a state sort of municipal level thing. So that there's a government run utility in, I think, where is this, like Vermont or somewhere?
It was a very low population state.
And so they're reading the smart meter every 15 minutes to control the power grid.
Illinois.
And
that's not a low population state. So the judge ruled because the smart meters are not that ubiquitous and it's only a small amount of people that have them, and because it's only recording every 15 minutes, that's okay.
Also, they said because law enforcement doesn't have easy access to the data, that it's just the company, the power grid company.
But you know they would share it.
Yeah.
Easily. They're probably selling it.
How long is it recorded? Like, is it down to the minute?
You got to think, what is it? Just a couple of, like, maybe 4 or 5-digit numbers?
See, I don't think that even 15 minutes, like, you could aggregate that on a neighborhood level and, like, a street level. Even if there's only 12 people on your street, I would feel a lot better about this if it's, like, you know, Street Zulu needs this power requirement and the aggregate load on the grid is this versus individual house X. And I think they could do it at street level or transformer level or whatever it is versus the actual power meter.
But that's not as valuable to them.
Yeah.
So.
And therein lies the problem.
Yeah. Now, there's actually a lot of precedent for even non-smart metering being used. So some things that take a ton of water, for example, are illegal. They'll get you on it. Electricity, definitely, because if you're growing weed, for example, that uses a ton of power. So if your power bill was like $100 this month and $500 next month, they will dispatch a couple of cops to come and sniff around and see what they can find.
I've actually been on the receiving end of that twice because I have a lot of computers. And they're like, what sort of crime is going on here? And it's like, it's a lot of computers. And it's like, it's some sort of crime, right? No, this is not even Bitcoin mining. It's just computing. Sorry.
So, yeah, smart meters are bad. You can't really opt out of them. It's the power company itself will install it. So.
They put a note in my file. Oh, it's just some weirdo with a bunch of computers, so it's fine now. But is it really? I mean, there's a note in a file now. That's not acceptable.
So you'll probably remember the big to-do about ZTE and the Trump administration.
Not just ZTE, also Huawei.
I don't know if Trump necessarily went after Huawei, but they banned them. No. They banned them, then they didn't ban them, then they banned them again, and they fired their entire board. Then they fined them $1 billion. Then they banned them again. I don't even know what the relationship is like now. But enter to make the triangle, Australia.
Australia has banned Huawei and ZTE from supplying technology for its 5G network amid backdoor concerns.
Wow. didn't last week or the week before, Australia wanted a backdoor and everything.
Sidegate, goddamn it. Sidegate is what it's called.
Sidegate is accessible only to Australians, not Chinese. But yeah, they're saying that because there's a fear that these people are going to report back to the Chinese government. Now, ZTE, or maybe it was Huawei, I think they actually signed something. They were like, we will have a contract with you saying that we have nothing to do with them. We operate in Australia. Yes, we sell their hardware, but we don't. That wasn't enough.
I wonder if the Australian politicians realize the situation they've put themselves in with the whole Huawei and ZTE thing versus this. Oh, well, we can have a side gate that only works for us, but not whatever it is their fears and concerns are from the Huawei and ZTE side of thing. Like, there's got to be some introspection or something there. Like, there's got to be something.
Well, what happens when you don't have the side gate yet? But you must get into the house. What do you do in that situation? You steal the house.
Sydney Airport seizure has, you know, for phone and laptops alarming, say privacy groups. So there was the Border Force has detained a British-Australian software developer named Nathan Haig, apparently at random for 90 minutes. And he had a really good point. He said, you search my bags in front of me and you look for, you know, bombs or whatever in front of me, but you won't search my phone and my laptop in front of me. Why is that?
And he believes that they made a copy of his hard drive so that anything they couldn't get into in that 90-minute period, they still have. They didn't have any good reason to suspect him of anything.
Well, thank goodness that American citizens don't have to endure this level of just...
Australia with their backward, upside down, third world behavior. But here in the land of the free, we would never have this.
Unless you're Muslim.
So yeah, this lady basically experienced the same thing. Now the difference here is they didn't give the phone back. They kept it for something like
120 days.
6 months, I think.
Yep.
Now here, she has, this is terrible. I mean, there's no excuse for this. But she does have a weird argument. She says she is a devout Muslim, right? And that's why she was targeted. But she also said she might have had some nudes on the phone.
Well, apparently that's okay, as long as only the husband looks at them.
But has she not she needs to watch the Level One News and know that once it's on an iPhone, anybody can see it. That's crazy.
Tim Cook is personally just browsing through those, like, oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I'm sure there was some profiling there because she was probably, you know, burka'd out and maybe a little testy with the TSA people trying to touch her and stuff, you know. So they're like, all right, we'll fix your wagon. We'll take your iPhone. And in more horribly, horribly dystopian news, of course, we always talk about the music industry and the movie industry, and they're losing their grip. They used to be
on reality.
Well, they used to be incredibly, incredibly powerful. They shaped our lives. They controlled the distribution. Now they don't, and they don't know what to do about it, but oh, they're trying.
This Texas ISP has slammed the music biz for trying to turn it into a copyright cop. So Grand, I guess, is the name of this communications
Could
company.
Be Grande.
Grande.
Because they're in Texas.
I don't know. Most of this ISP's customers are higher education. They're non-traditional, like, end users. And so the media company, to read the ISP side of it, they're saying that the media company is giving us all these takedown notices and notices of infringement and things like that. But the problem is that our network connects to our customers' networks, and we don't really have good visibility on what's going on inside the customer networks. And we couldn't tell you which person inside that network is actually doing anything at all. And because of that, there's nothing that we can do about these requests or cutting them off unless we cut off the entire university. But that doesn't seem like a good thing. So they're arguing it now in Texas before a judge.
But it's actually crazier than that. So I don't really understand how this works, but all these universities in question are serviced by the same ISP provider. And they're all on private land, which gives them their private schools on private land. So the ISP doesn't really have visibility on what's going on, but certainly the copyright trolls don't have anything. They can't see what's going on. So they don't actually know that piracy is happening on these networks.
They can't.
They just assume that. So they're sending DMCA requests, but they're just randomly picking movies and songs. They're like, you know what? I bet Taylor Swift is being pirated on your network right now. Here's 5,000 takedown requests. Go deal with that. And the ISP is like, this is just crazy. You don't have any proof of anything. What are we supposed to do with this?
They want them to block BitTorrent, but they can't even, there's not enough visibility on the ISP side to really, sort of just blocking the entire protocol to really know what's going on with which individual person.
And legally, they have no requirement to do that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, the music industry is trying to say that they do have a legal requirement to do that, but I would agree that there's not actually, we're not there yet. We're getting there. We're headed there as fast as we can get there, but we're not there yet.
That's going to be a terrifying world
if
they can just assume we're pirating things. Because, of course, they're going to assume that we are.
You've invented a new protocol that helps you distribute things that are good for society? No, we got to shut that down.
Well, the big news is we've got these midterm elections coming up. It's heating up. The races are heating up. I really have insulated myself as much as possible from that madness.
I want to talk about the RTX 2080. Something 2080.
That is not an elected official.
Soon will be.
LA County has open source voting. But wait, don't get too excited. These are not voting machines. This is vote counting software.
Yeah. So I wasn't really sure what to make of this because the person that wrote it, I don't think has any idea about open source software or how things work. Maybe not. Maybe I could be wrong. I don't know. Maybe it was a low reading comprehension day. But I mean, they've got approval for the software, which is good. It means that the state regulators are saying, okay, you can use this. It's going to work well enough. Maybe that's going to be good for open elections. But how this matters or not depends a lot on the details of the implementation, which are scant in that article.
Well, they do. You can look at the source, though. They don't link to the source.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, but how they implement it in the actual election, if they're like, here, we're using our open source software, we're running it on our web server with the Apache Struts vulnerability, it's like, oh.
Well, I think the one thing it does sort of cover is there, like with in the Bush election, the Florida counts, there was actually, they suspected that when they were counting the votes, they were just cheating. So I guess there would be some sort of visibility there. You know, there'd be like a log or something. And you would know that based on the open source. But there is a huge point of failure in the voting machine themselves, right? So what we need is voting machines that can be audited and run on open source. And what we have is not quite that.
So, the news, we talked about this a little bit when it was happening, but, you know, DEF CON had the little voting village thing, and there was a lot of hacking of voting machines going on in voting village. But a lot of the districts that had those voting machines preemptively got a memo that was said that basically told them not to worry, and everything was smoke and mirrors, and they can't do this because the software is not licensed and blah blah blah. And so now senators are saying, why are you guys that have the voting machines so hostile toward these researchers? Because this seems like overt hostility.
Yeah, the company is ES&S. And
it used to be Diebold. Remember Diebold? Then they changed the name
I didn't know the same thing. So yeah, the senators are saying we want low cost versions of your machines for security research purposes, but that's never going to happen.
See, also just Google Diebold fiasco and enjoy the afternoon black hole.
And this is another situation of. Is it incompetence or is it maliciousness? Because we know they're insecure. That's not up for debate. But the question is, are they insecure by design?
Are they insecure by design, or are they half-assing the software so badly as to just collect the money?
Well, in New York, here's an interesting over-regulation, one might say. So in New York, if you have something for short-term lease or short-term rent, they want you to be registered with the government. So they want to know everything about you if you're doing Airbnb. Airbnb clearly doesn't want that to happen.
So New York also wants information about the tenants that you have go there, which would slow things down a bit. And that's what Airbnb is most upset about, because of the user data for both the renters and the guests.
Yeah, I guess it's something about, like in case they destroy something and there's a legal battle, or maybe what if they're terrorists? What if they're Russian? Oh my God. So yeah. You also wonder, much like Uber and the taxi companies, New York has a lot of hotels, and that's a big business, and they probably have a lot of lobby dollars, a lot of voice in the government, and suddenly they have a competitor. They don't like that. Well, do you remember Reality Winner?
The NSA leaker.
I'm not talking about the winner of a reality show. Talking about this young lady who was maybe the least famous of all the NSA hackers.
Well, she just really copied a bunch of documents to a USB flash drive that has never been found. But she got 5 years. 5 years.
Yeah. They caught her. So it had to do with what else? Russian hacking. And they busted her because she leaked. She printed it, and the micro dots got her.
Yeah.
Don't print.
Don't print.
Don't do it. So she is. She pled guilty, and I think they kind of took it easy on her.
5 years doesn't sound like taking it easy for what she did.
How long ago was that, though? You think she got time served?
I don't know. That's a good question.
So she's probably got, if it's a federal case, so that's 80% of the time.
Yeah, if it is time served, then she's got a while left. But maybe if it's like, not time served, that's still.
Like maybe 2 years left.
That's still just, that seems like a lot.
She's probably going to have a tough time getting a job when she gets out.
Yeah.
She might be working at Wendy's. I don't think any security firm is going to take her.
It turned out okay for Mitnick. I bet Mitnick's firm takes her.
I don't think she had a ton of skill, though.
It doesn't matter. I mean,
Mitnick. Just the name?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if she's trainable, Mitnick could probably hire her.
Just march her out to the meetings. Look what we got.
That's how it was with Mitnick, too. I mean, you know.
Well, now prepare yourselves for the China block. Much like the Tesla block, we have several stories about China. And the first one is the ongoing blockchain drama out of China.
So China's shut down blockchain news accounts and also hotels in Beijing from hosting cryptocurrency events. So if you want to fly to China and talk about ICOs or blockchain or whatever, no, all of that is gone. Literally none of it. But again, you know, I sort of juxtapose this with what's happening in the West. And instead of like coming out and saying, no, we don't really want to do stuff with Bitcoin, we instead like undermine the payment processors and the ability to convert the currency and whatever. Whereas China's just like, no, we're not going to do this.
Well, China is pulling a little bit of that because they're not saying cryptocurrency is banned. It's ICOs. But these news websites obviously cover ICOs. And these hotels and stuff that have the cons, ICO people might be there. So that's just sort of like their blanket to be like, that's banned. You're not doing that.
Not that I believe this, but in China, it's possible that the authorities believe that the average Chinese citizen is hopelessly optimistic and would accidentally sink their life savings or their fortune or whatever into an ICO, lose everything, and then the government still has to take care of them.
They are notorious gamblers, the Chinese.
And there come the downvotes.
Well, you know, I mean, that's not me saying it. That's the Chinese government saying it. And it's to the point where the gambling is totally illegal in China, except I think there are like 4 state-run lotteries that you're allowed to gamble on. So any kind of workaround for that, they're against.
Apple has pulled illegal apps targeted by the Chinese state media. So you kind of really put illegal in quotation marks here because you think illegal means like they're really terrible, and some of these are.
Well, they're mostly gambling.
But they're gone.
Yeah. I imagine there's a couple of news apps that got netted up in this that might be a little bit counterculture. But primarily, there are a lot of gambling apps, a lot of cryptocurrency gambling apps.
Probably some stuff related to the Buddhist monks, like their news programs.
There's some Muslim stuff. But yeah, they love to gamble, and government doesn't like it. Remember when...
We are on fire with these segues today, this week.
Remember when the Chinese stock market was just soaring, and you had all those people, it was like street vendors, and they'd be like making hot dogs while they had the stock ticker on the side of the hot dog cart? I bet they got hurt bad by the crypto drop. So it kind of makes sense that it probably really hurt the economy and the government. I mean, I'm not saying it's okay, but I understand why they're trying to do it.
Has anybody tested the new NVIDIA cards with the crypto miner?
Everything comes back to that, doesn't it? Well, China is also notorious for copying Western things.
Yeah.
And doing so without really any apologies.
Now, I tried to find... I'm almost certain... Now, it could be that I've been staring into the Farnsworth fuser a little too long again. Maybe that's the thing. But I can swear that there was an episode of the Level 1 News where I said the Chinese browser is literally going to be, they're going to go to the Chromium source and pull out all the Google tracking and insert their own tracking and a little bit more, and they're going to call it their own browser. And lo and behold, that is exactly what happened.
Well, that's what they did with Windows. And what was it? Was it the Red Star that North Korea did? OS?
That's just Linux made to look like Mac OS.
Yeah, it was just... So yeah, they Red Core is the name of this one. They rolled it out and they were like, yes, the first Chinese browser. They left the Google Chrome icons in it. I mean, they put very, very little effort. They were immediately called out and they're like, no, we added innovations. Yeah, maybe we copied Chrome, but we made it better. And everybody was like, no, look, it's here. You left everything in. It's all the same. So they've pulled it down. You can't download it anymore.
Aww.
Yeah.
Turns out making a web browser is hard. I don't think it's a bad strategy that they would start with Google Chrome and put in their own tracking and stuff because that's fine.
But Google is about to do business in China.
Yeah.
And there's that whole Google, like, you know, they're the uprising to try to get them to stop. And so that might...
Somebody probably sent an email to Google, or Google probably sent them an email that's like, hey guys, we noticed you're working on the source to Chrome. You want some help? Because just tell us what you want. We'll make it happen.
Yeah. Well, but they've had to try to back off of that. So like, imagine if they did a version of Chrome that took out all the protections.
A lot of the employees do not like that. Now, here's the question. You got to figure some percentage of the Google employees are H-1B visa holders from China. those are the ones you should ask if you should work on this kind of stuff.
They might still have enough fear in them.
Will word get back to my country that I voted this way?
Are you about to lose your passport? Well, you might hear all this stuff and think, wow, China's terrible. But, I mean, do they know that they're terrible? Are they admitting this? What does the government say about all this? They say it is, quote, absolutely correct.
Amid criticism. See, this is what I always go back to is they're kind of open. They're saying that this is what we do to protect our citizenship and the bottom line. Like, this doesn't actually seem to... It seems like they're protecting Chinese national interests and not anything like super nefarious.
Well, they use that not
other
just,
than whatever that is.
Not just to talk about the, you know, the trade stuff and Google and Apple and all that, but he says the internet must be clean and all, quote, vulgar material must be purged. So he believes that anything that's not like the cultural vision of the communist government or the nationalist ideas must be scourged from the web. That's the only way.
There were other people, though, because there's apparently room for criticism, because the article talked about how some other members of the political party thought that some of the Western reaction to, like with the tariffs and stuff like that, was a result of this renewed Chinese nationalism as opposed to a more live and let live attitude.
Nah, see, that's... Those people are like the liberals that they put on Fox News.
Oh, okay.
They're just there. They're plants. Because you need it to look like there's an opposition argument.
But there's not.
But not really.
Well, I fell for it. Because it was like, oh, yeah, maybe these Chinese people are too. Yeah, no.
A couple of paper tigers. They're well compensated. Well, and now, prepare yourselves for the nonsense section. And the first thing we'll talk about.
It was all nonsense the whole time.
Just in case, once again, for you neats out there, here's something that you have to worry about with those marathon gaming sessions. You might lose your accent.
If you only watch the Level 1 news, you're going to get a vaguely Appalachian accent.
Hill folk.
So this particular gaming addict lost his Welsh accent after only communicating with internationals online.
Look, he looks so sad.
This article... I did not understand what to make of the terminology in this article, because it talks about gaming addiction and going outside every once in a while, and I just...
Well, they did talk about he would put in a 21-hour gaming session.
Mm.
So he would...
That's dedication.
Sleep very little and game his entire waking life. So the idea is he also did it at weird hours. So he was on the opposite clock. So he was gaming with internationals, and because he was gaming with Americans, he lost his Welsh accent.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you got to hand it to him, though. I mean, that's dedication. If he was not unemployed and stayed at home all the time, and he had, you know, half as much dedication into a career, I mean, he would probably be successful.
Well, most things aren't quite as exciting as Fortnite, you know? So...
It can be if you turn it into a game. It's like, I'm going to unclog, you know, a record number of toilets today or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think the toilet unclogging game would catch on
quite as well as Fortnite.
Well, something that does catch on fire is an iPad in Amsterdam.
I can't believe that this is international news. I mean, the local Meyer here has an iPad that looks like a balloon, and they've had that for like... 3 months. I should go tweet a picture of it.
It's 9 to 5 Mac, so I don't know if this counts as international news. But yeah, the whole store had to be evacuated because, you know, there's some vapors that come from an exploding battery that you might not want to inhale. A couple of people said they had trouble breathing. They were rushed to a hospital.
Now, there's a hidden gem in this article, and it says that the Apple employees put the iPad in a bucket of sand. How did they already have that on hand?
I assume it is, you know, those ashtrays they put outside?
Oh, one of those?
Yeah.
Was it
couldn't just be because it's an Apple store and they're like, you better get a bucket of sand.
Maybe that can be this week's engagement challenge. It's like, do you work at a store? Do they just ship everybody a plastic tub of sand in case that happens? Because if so, my goodness.
Yeah, those, not only because those smoking, like, cigarette butt kiosk things, they had sand to put the cigarette out in, and they're also weighted with sand so they don't blow over in the wind. So could be that. Maybe not. I don't know. Well, if you follow gaming news, there was a...
We reported on this.
Did we?
Yep.
The Dead Cells review, and it was obvious plagiarism. I mean, it was crazy. He went... Not only did he steal the guy's words, but he put them in the same order of like the subcategories. Well, he made a blog post, and said, it was totally coincidence. I challenge you to find more instances of this. I found 7 or 8 more instances. Just, here he is.
It's like Arrested Development, and then it's like Ron Howard's voice comes on, and it's like, and they did.
Yeah. So they found so many more instances of him stealing from... One thing about it, though, he stole from a wide variety of sources.
Ah.
He would steal from the small YouTubers and, you know, just like the written articles. He would steal Polygon. Stole one from Polygon. That's a pretty big other site. So, yeah, he doesn't work at IGN anymore. They've taken down all of his work. They've apologized. And
you know who has not apologized yet?
They're going to.
Huawei.
Well, let's look at this picture first. Man, that is a good-looking picture. Look at that.
It's got depth of field. It's got the face tracking.
I mean, look at... He's a very odd color.
I think this was supposed to be a demonstration of Huawei's new...
Because she's not wearing makeup. Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah. And it's supposed to like automatically fix your face so that you don't need makeup.
Well, it does look nice. But here's the problem. Oh, here's another one. Look at that. Look how beautiful. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. It's
that's
not,
not
the phone.
That's a really nice camera.
Huawei said that, you know, we just heavily implied it was a picture taken on the phone.
They didn't, I mean, they couldn't defend the fact that that was a phone because it wasn't. It was just, they didn't really lie, but they certainly implied.
Oh, is, you know, does this behavior imply anything about using their telecommunications products for things that national security stuff will run on? Like, are they related?
Mm.
It's like, if willing to lie about selfie, also willing to install Chinese backdoor.
But who would we trust if that were true? What company's above that?
Well, we would have to turn the NSA into a telecommunications supplier and only get the stuff from the NSA.
Oh, we can't even trust the FCC. So we're doomed if that's the case. I guess we kind of are doomed. Well, here's the thing. You talked about, you know, if you're a neat and you're sitting at home all day, what if you could focus that energy towards something more profitable, right? Well, have I got the answer for you?
I don't understand how this is a... This seems like this would be a deflationary... an inflationary crypto, because...
It's going to be a lot of it generated.
Yeah, because the porn website Tube8 is to launch a blockchain platform, rewards views with crypto tokens. So the more you watch, the more tokens you get. It would seem to be inflationary in value.
No, so the headline's a little skewed, Cointelegraph. You don't just watch. You have to interact. So you have to, like, comment and upvote and share, I guess. So I guess the idea is the crypto price, if Tube8 becomes a bigger website, then there's going to be more people brought in and more people trading the coins.
So it's a pyramid scheme with crypto.
I guess. I don't know.
Somebody in the comments tell us about that?
Even if it's useless, you're not really paying anything for it, right? I wonder if maybe... while you're there, they use your browser. Maybe that's part of it.
Like Fold Protein or Mine Crypto or whatever?
Yeah, it's going to mine that coin. It's a new kind of coin. I can't remember what they called it, but it's not an existing crypto coin. It's something they're coming up with. Vice Coin, that's what it was. Because, you know, Vice, because it's porn.
What is that? He's not supposed to be here. We already covered all of his news.
We did actually already cover. I forgot to put this in nonsense. But it is nonsense, right? Elon Musk has... unfollowed Grimes. There they are, the happy couple. And his weird reverse priest shirt, which I don't know what's going on there. But I don't... Do you think this means that...
Warhammer Tech Priest, is that...
Oh, her little, like, neck gear thing? That's very edgy, isn't it? I think that's... She's kind of like a goth princess. Yeah, that's the subset of internet nerds who are in love with her. But anyway... Do you think this means that it's over between them, or is he just like trying to not be distracted?
Clearly, he's going through some kind of breakdown, and that's going to factor heavily into the SEC investigation. It's like, I shouldn't have done that, but I was very emotional from my personal life being super messed up right now.
Could be. 4chan really doesn't like her. They they claim that she has terrible diseases of the social variety, and that now Musk has them.
We've got a follow-up from our story last week on the woman who invited like 24 men to the same date.
Did we already do the story? Because I thought maybe we had.
Yeah, there was no real news on it. It was a thing that happened. This is a follow-up.
I don't even remember that. But this, I feel like, so yeah, this woman matched with a ton of dudes on Tinder and set up a date with them. And then they all showed up and then she made them compete. I feel like any man who didn't immediately walk away when this was explained and give her the finger on the way out should be castrated because he's not using them. That's pathetic.
The story that I read was from the point of view of a guy that was like standing off to the side watching things, and is like, she was up on stage and she's like, okay, this is what's happening, and then some people did leave. And then some other people continued to participate. And then she just sort of whittled the choices down to, and it was like, you know, it was like Monty Hall, let's make a deal. But it was like, do you do this? And are you interested in this? And is your name this? Oh, if your name's that, then go. And it's like, how do you not even know that from the one thing? So
that is, I mean, talk about the worst prize to win.
Well, apparently she was an actress that was hired by somebody else to do that. And so I don't know that it was her idea. It was some PR agency stunt or something.
So then it's not even going to be a real date?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
That guy should be he should be shamed publicly for the rest of his life. Like the most whipped man in the world. Like, it's not even a real date and you're willing to do anything to get it. Well, let's think about things that you can, let's see, if you're wildly wealthy, things that you can just throw money away on. Right? Super sports cars. Yachts.
One or two RTX 2080s.
I think you could get several. Maybe wait for the Titan version. You can go on exotic vacations. You can buy exotic animals. Get like, you know how all the drug dealers always have like lions and tigers and stuff? But if you really have, I don't know if it's, I've seen one report that's 250,000, one report that it's 100,000. But if you really have money burning in your pocket, how about purchasing a young lady's virginity?
She's selling it because she wants a house for her mother in Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan is how you pronounce that. Azerbaijani. Yeah, there you go. But yeah, here she is. Actually, you have to click through to go to the... Oh, come on. She's 23 years old. And here's the thing about it. There's some photos of her down here. There she is. Very lovely. Interesting haircut. But you are welcome. Now, this has to take place in Germany, right? Because I guess it's legal there, which is kind of weird. She'll pay for the hotel. Don't worry about that. You can choose any hotel in Germany that you want to go to. You are allowed to bring a doctor to confirm her virginity before the act takes place.
I guess that was as one does.
If you're going to spend $250,000, you want to know, right? You want to be sure.
So how does the internet factor into this?
This is Cinderella Dates.
Oh, it's a website.
Cinderella Escorts, right? Yeah, they are. They're like the Christies of selling your virginity.
You think we could get like EA or some game company to buy the rights to be the first game that I play on the RTX 2080?
I don't think so. I don't think anybody cares.
I don't understand the difference, really. I just
well, you know, we talk about a lot. You know, a lot of people believe that memes got Donald Trump elected. The power of memes. 2018, well, I guess not 2018, but maybe more like 2016, 2017, was the years of the power of memes. And Russia is very sensitive to this powerful new force.
Social media and engagement. So this story is about a Russian woman facing 6 years in jail for reposting memes. And if you read it, it's like she just thought that these were funny pictures and she saved them. Although this article is useless because it doesn't have the pictures. It does have a screen grab of her tweet, but then there's not a direct translation. So
apparently the offending pictures were, some of them were of Russian Orthodox priests. I think she said some like anti-religion stuff.
Yeah. So I'm thinking then I'm thinking of it. I was thinking of it before as like, remember when somebody defaced Wikipedia, not with the current Pope, but the previous Pope, and they replaced the picture of the Pope with Palpatine because like from Star Wars, because it looked like evil Senator Palpatine and, you know, evil previous Pope. They kind of look similar. You know, like the previous Pope kind of looked like he was going to get you with Force Lightning, something like that. So something like that, 6 years, that seems a little excessive.
Well, I think, yeah, I think you're on track there. Something like that. I don't think it was necessarily like, you know, switching them out, but a picture of an actual Orthodox priest and she said something derogatory, you know, maybe like.
Or funny.
Maybe that he might molest some children. Yeah. Well, I guess
the
Russian Orthodoxy doesn't have that. That reputation now, that's Catholic. I don't think they're Catholic. So anyway, she is also a dissident, though.
Oh, well, there you go.
She has association with some websites and some blogs. And obviously, she is someone that the state has on their radar.
I also was a little alarmed by her lawyer's statement, which was like, we think maybe some of the police in the area just wanted to improve their record slightly so that they're just drumming this up from nothing. And I was like, is that a thing that happens regularly?
But also the lawyer, I mean, I guess you got to respect his realism. But they interviewed him and they're like, so what are your hopes here? And he's like, it's not going to be good. Not thinking that anything good's going to come of this. It's she's pretty much doomed.
Thank goodness nothing like this could possibly ever happen in the West.
Much like the Australia story. Again, Russia, just a backwards, you know, just a shithole of corruption. And we would never, ever have any kind of headline like this in America.
So this Indiana high school student has been arrested after posting zombie video game clip to Facebook. So he was playing the Walking Dead augmented reality game on his phone, where like you walk around holding your phone out in front of you with the camera and like tapping on zombies that it adds via augmented reality to kill the zombies. And he's been arrested. He's having his expulsion trial next week, and he's out on $1,000 bail. And it just seems insane. As someone who had to go to detention for playing Doom in school, I just
look at the hairline on this poor kid. He's gonna be bald by 30. I feel for him. So, yeah, this is, it's like Pokemon Go. It's just a game now. What he did that they are upset about is he recorded him playing this game in a hallway at his school. So while the other children were moving about, he was shooting zombies in the hallway of the school. And a lot of these schools have zero tolerance policies for anything firearm related. Like the one kid went to a gun range with his dad and tweeted a photo of it, nothing to do with the school, got expelled.
Wow.
Because it's like, if you are a member of the school, you can't do anything related to a firearm or you will be expelled.
Zero tolerance is zero intelligence.
Yeah. So I suspect it's very difficult to explain to these school administrators what augmented reality is.
I would guess that whoever saw this, because one version of this was a message that he posted with the thing was like, oh, this is a new AR game, something, something. And I wonder if some idiot adult was like, AR means AR-15 as opposed to augmented reality.
Well, here's the thing. He was snitched by another student.
The one article said that, but the actual quote from the deputy sheriff who actually filed the charges says that he was concerned about the post. So there's a little...
Yeah. Of course. No one is more anti-gun than cops.
This smells like a lot like railroading to me.
Well, it's a way to signal, yes, we're super serious about student safety. Yeah.
They're going to mess that kid up good. He's going to be like super anti.
Well, what's the ultimate irony? They ruin his life. And he comes back in 2 years and shoots up the school.
Don't know. It's just...
if that happens, it'll be an explosive headline. And you know what else is not actually explosive, but you might hear that it is your credit card.
This is a phishing scam. So there was a phishing scam going around that was trying to get people to respond. The phishing scam was pretending to be like as if they were from Barclays, the bank and, you know, credit card payment provider. And it said, hey, we issued you a card. There is an explosion risk of your credit card. Send us your details and we'll send you a new one. And a lot of people apparently thought that sounded legit.
Your details and your card.
Yeah.
So they were like, yeah, pop that card in an envelope. Now, here's the thing about it. If it's at risk of explosion, do you want it in the postal system? Wouldn't you throw it away? No. You must mail it to them with all of the details that they would need to use it so they can issue you another one.
On the scale of uncontrollable fires, I'm here to tell you that a trash fire is much worse than a mail fire.
But think about that's in a distribution center. I mean, trash fire, okay, that's hard to control, but you're losing trash. Mail fire, you're losing very important things.
Nothing of value was lost.
Yeah. Someone else's credit card might be in there. Now, this story...
It's our last nonsense story.
Every once in a while, like every week, I'll sneak in one non-tech-related story just because it's so good. And this one is... I mean, you read the headline.
It is at least on the Inc. website, Inc.com, which is a pretty good source of news usually. So in America, we're having some sort of crisis with our airlines, apparently, and emotional support animals. All the airlines are just tired of all the shenanigans people are pulling with support animals.
Yeah, so they... There are service animals, right? We should make the separation here. A service animal is an animal that is trained to help someone with a disability, and it is certified. You have papers. So if you go to a restaurant and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, we don't allow dogs in here. You whip out those papers and you're like, this is a service dog. It will eat with me. That is not the same as an emotional support animal. An emotional support animal is an animal that you get sad and you need to cuddle an animal to calm you down because the world is too much for you. Well, here on this United Airlines flight, they admitted there was a dog and a monkey. One of these animals was the human's emotional support animal. The other one was the other animal's emotional support animal. So they both had to have seats on the plane. Unfortunately, it is not known which was which.
Was the dog the monkey's emotional support animal or vice versa?
It's times like these I think about Pebbles, the emotional support hamster.
Oh, yeah, the Pebbles story. Oh, man.
Pebbles was not allowed onto a plane. I guess this was before this became a thing, and he was flushed.
I would legit believe that Pebbles' owner had emotional problems.
Clearly. Yeah, she was a little unhinged.
As demonstrated by Pebbles having been flushed.
But, yeah, it's... So apparently, because it's getting so crazy, to the point where you have recursive support animals, they are going to stop dealing with this kind of thing. So sorry if you use an emotional support animal. I guess you're going to have to take a different kind of public transport.
The straw that broke a camel's back for another airline was an emotional support peacock.
Can you train a peacock not to poop wherever it is?
I don't think so. I think now the only emotional support animals allowed are like a cat or a dog, and in some cases, a miniature horse.
Is that, speciesism or whatever? A miniature horse.
Can you imagine? I think with that is the end of the Level 1 news for this week, because good Lord, why has everybody lost their damn minds? If you've got a good story for us, post them on the Level 1 website.
But don't tweet them at us. Please stop doing that.
Yeah.